Everyone, welcome to Bowmansville for worship this morning. Just wanted to draw your attention to our God who has been good to us all our life and who is just forever and ever reveals his mercy to us when we fail. It can't be too much because he has the ability to forgive all of that. So just enter into worship with us. His mercy is more.
Green. Thank you.
thanks to your mercy that we can be whiter than snow and that we can tell that story as we go out and about. Thank you that you have been all faithful all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome, Bumsville Mennonite Church family and friends. Greeting in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to Pentecost Sunday, the day that we celebrate and recognize the coming of the Holy Spirit. So before we get into the message this morning, I'd just like to offer you a reminder about Devin Weaver's fundraiser meal that's going to be happening on June the 7th. And today, May 31st, is the last day to sign up for that. And if you want to sign up for that, you can contact Devin Weaver's MST, which consists of Derek Weaver, Donna Horst, and Cullen Musser. So please contact them. Let them know if you would like a lunch on June the 7th. And there's other options to have it delivered if you don't want to come to the church for it. So Pentecost, what an incredible event. We'll talk about that in a minute. But anyone who knows me well knows that I enjoy traveling to Pine Creek in Tioga County and camping along Pine Creek and doing some primitive camping. And one of the adventures of camping also involves building a campfire. And over the years, I've learned a few tricks to building a campfire. So if you come camping with me, maybe you might learn a few tricks. But the basic premise is lighting a match, igniting some kindling, and then slowly adding fuel to the fire until you have a nice, cozy campfire to enjoy. Well, some 2,000 years ago, a match was struck. At first, just a few people in that part of the world were touched and warmed by the fire. But that fire spread beyond Jerusalem and Judea out into the world and to all peoples. Beginning in Jerusalem with a small group of disciples, the gospel message spread across the Roman Empire. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, this courageous band preached, taught, healed, and demonstrated God's love in synagogues, schools, homes, marketplaces, courtrooms, streets, hills, wherever God sent them. And as they shared the good news, lives were supernaturally transformed by the Holy Spirit, and history was changed forever. The book of Acts is a sequel to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke, the author of Acts, records a connection between Jesus' life and the beginning of the church. Now, we need to note a few things, very important things today, and that is found in Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. It says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And then in John 16, Jesus was telling his disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit, about how he had to return to God the Father. But when he returned to God the Father, he would then send the Holy Spirit. And then we read this in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So, Father, we just come to you right now in the powerful name of Jesus, and we just pray and ask that you would open our hearts, open our minds to understand more of the power that's available to each one of us as your followers to live lives that are empowered and filled with your Spirit. So speak to us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Acts 2:1 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So let's back up a bit and get some context. Pentecost was one of three Old Testament festivals when people were to travel to Jerusalem with gifts and offerings. It is my understanding that this particular festival was filled with thanksgiving for the harvested crops. I believe there is a significant connection to the many Jewish festivals and feasts that are outlined in the Old Testament and Jesus Christ's work. And these connections are not just a coincidence. Jesus was crucified at Passover time. Jesus' sacrificial death as the Lamb of God is very significant. 1 Corinthians 5, 7b, "For Christ your Passover lamb has been sacrificed." And also the Feast of First Fruits gives us a picture of his resurrection from the dead as seen in 1 Corinthians 15:20. "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." So let's connect the dots. Jesus was crucified at Passover time, known to us today as Good Friday. He rose from the dead 3 days later, which we celebrate as Resurrection Sunday, or commonly known in our American culture as Easter. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. Now, when I worked at Conestoga Wood, Ascension Day was a paid holiday, but many folks didn't have a clue as to what Ascension Day was, so it provided a great opportunity to share the good news. And we read this about Jesus' ascension in Luke's writings in Acts 1, 1 to 11. Listen to these words. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the dates or times the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the skies he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" So Luke is basically saying that the disciples were eyewitnesses to all that had happened to Jesus, his life before his crucifixion and the 40 days after his resurrection, as he taught them more about the kingdom of God. The disciples had many questions about the kingdom of God, as we see in Acts 1:6. God has his own timetable and works according to his ultimate plan, which we as human beings have a hard time grasping hold of or wrapping our minds around. Jesus told the disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on them. And the disciples would have power to be his, Jesus' witnesses. After Jesus ascended, the disciples went back to Jerusalem, took care of the business of finding someone to replace Judas, and then 50 days after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we come to Acts 2 and the day of Pentecost. The phrase, "when the day of Pentecost came," means when it had been completely fulfilled. I believe we can see from Scripture that God has a purpose and a plan concerning the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was prophesied in the Old Testament, what I read at the beginning from Joel, and reached its fulfillment in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit continues to be poured out on believers to empower them to be His, Jesus's witnesses. And He also pours out His power for living a godly life in this cold, wicked, and ungodly world. I've entitled this message, Living with Power. And I believe that today, perhaps more than ever before, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest itself in our lives as we face these challenging and unprecedented times in our personal lives and also as a church body, and this is happening all around the world. Now, one of the questions I think about when I share a message is this. So what? So a long time ago, the day of Pentecost came. A long time ago at some Jewish festival or feast, the Feast of Pentecost, the believers in Jesus were assembled together, and suddenly a violent wind from heaven filled the whole house. And what seemed like tongues of fire came and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. So what difference does that make for me today? What difference does that make for you today? What happened on the first Pentecost continues to happen to Christians throughout the world today, although usually not in such a dramatic fashion. We rarely get a heavenly wind and tongues of fire. Nevertheless, God pours out His Spirit on all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and become His disciples. You can read about that in Romans 8, 1 to 11. Believers, followers of Jesus, are meant to live in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit helps us to confess Jesus as Lord in 1 Corinthians 12, 3. Now, we need to note that there is a big difference, a huge difference between Jesus as our Savior and Jesus as our Lord. Everyone wants Jesus to be their Savior, to save them so that they can go to heaven. But there's a small number of Christ followers who truly desire that Jesus be Lord of their life, that Jesus be on the throne of their hearts, that Jesus be in control of their lives. The Holy Spirit empowers us to serve with supernatural power in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. The Holy Spirit binds us together as the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. And sadly, the Holy Spirit also sometimes causes sharp division among believers because of the manifestations of spiritual gifts and what that looks like in the church. Oh God, forgive us. God, bind us together. Give us a hunger for more of You. The Holy Spirit helps us pray when we are at a loss for words in Romans 8, 26. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us before God in Romans 8, 27. If we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, it guides us in Galatians 5, 25, helping us to live like Jesus and producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we see those fruits of the Spirit. So as we contemplate the implications of COVID-19 and the day of Pentecost in our personal lives today, it brings to mind a few questions that we need to ask ourselves and I think seriously consider. Am I, are you, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit every day? Am I, are you, are we allowing God to use us as a channel for the Spirit's gifts? Am I, are you attentive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc., growing in our lives? Perhaps many Christians, including myself, live in the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit, but only to a limited extent. Possibly we are limited by our fears, by our sin, maybe by our low expectations, and not to mention our tendency to try to be self-sufficient and the fact that we are very easily distracted from God's desire to supernaturally transform our hearts from the inside out. Today, the day of Pentecost, the day we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit in awesome power, offers us a chance to confess our failure to live by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and also offers us the opportunity to ask the Lord to fill us afresh and anew with His power so that we live every day in the power of the Holy Spirit that God has provided for us. You see, there's something that I long for. There's something that I wish I could get a better grasp of. And that is found in Ephesians chapter 1 in Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. It is my prayer for myself and for everyone listening or watching. Listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. The power of the Holy Spirit living in my heart, living in your heart, living in the heart of every believer is, get this, like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. In other words, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in us. How do I know this? When Peter preached to the crowds in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were cut to the heart and asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Because we have received this precious gift, the Holy Spirit, and because we have the power to be overcomers, the power to live victoriously in this dark world, we should be a people filled and overflowing with hope. I like to say oozing with hope, even in the midst of this pandemic. Romans 15, 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, Paul isn't saying, may a little bit of joy and a little bit of peace trickle into your life every now and again. No, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. I'd also like to point out that joy and peace are also fruits of the Holy Spirit. Paul isn't saying that if you have a certain personality type, you'll be bubbly and optimistic. Or if you have a certain personality type, you'll always be laid back and never get your feathers ruffled by anything. No, look at the last phrase in Romans 15, 13. "So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We are talking about something supernatural here. Being filled with joy and peace doesn't come from being surrounded by favorable circumstances. In fact, they are often more noticeable when someone is in a situation where most people will be depressed and anxious. How is this possible? The middle of Romans 15, 13 says, "As you trust in Him." A biblical joy is an inner delight in God and believing or taking His word as divine absolute truth. A biblical peace is an inner contentment and freedom from gripping anxiety and fear, because as the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension. Pretension means pretending that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We are only able to have this become reality in our lives by the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit within us, living with power. How do we do that? How do we access this divine supernatural power so we can live with power? How can we be filled with joy and peace and overflow with hope? How can we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God? How can we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ? Well, if you're looking for me to give you three easy steps, I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed. Because you see, I believe the scriptures are true. And if the scriptures are true, then James chapter 4, verse 2b and verse 3 is also true. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Ouch. Does anyone else feel the sting of those truths? So right now I'm going to ask God to pour out a fresh anointing of His Holy Spirit upon anyone who desires more power for living victoriously in this crazy world we now find ourselves in. Power to overcome fear and anxiety. Power to serve God fearlessly in our circles of influence. Now, James says that we do not receive because we ask with wrong motives. So let's pause right now and ask God to search our hearts and reveal any wrong motives. God, search our hearts right now. Please clearly reveal to us any wrong motives we may have, because we don't want more of your Spirit to spend on our own pleasures. We want a fresh filling and anointing so we can follow and serve you the way that you desire for us to do that. So speak to our hearts right now in this moment of silence. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to our hearts. And if the Holy Spirit revealed something to you you need to take care of, please do that right now. I'm also going to invite anyone listening or watching who wants a fresh filling and anointing of the Holy Spirit to hold out your hands with your palms upward as a symbol of receiving. Feel free to kneel if you care to and are able to, as a symbol of reverence and submission to Almighty God. And I'm going to pray the prayer from Ephesians chapter 2, or chapter 1. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is my prayer for us today. Lord Jesus, we come to you asking that you would give the spirit of wisdom and revelation to us, so that we may know you better. I pray that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of our glorious inheritance and that we would know the incomparably great power that is available for us who believe. That power is like the working of your mighty strength that you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead. I pray, Father God, that you would help us to get a grasp, a better understanding of what that means, about that power that is available to each one of us. I pray for a fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. I pray, Father God, that we, your church here at Bowmansville, would be in tune with your Holy Spirit, and we desire for the fruits of the Spirit to be growing in our lives as we press into you and follow you. So we thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus for your wonderful gift that we recognize and celebrate today. That gift is your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Now receive this benediction, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.